Part 1. Positive Psychology at Work. Introduction. If you observe the people around you, you'll find most individuals follow a formula that has been subtly, or not so subtly, taught to them by their schools, their company, their parents, or society. That is, if you work hard, you will become successful. And once you become successful, then you'll be happy. This pattern of belief explains what most often motivates us in life. We think, if I can just get that raise or hit that next sales target, I'll be happy. If I can just get that next good grade, I'll be happy. If I lose that 5 pounds, I'll be happy, and so on. Success first, happiness second. The only problem is that this formula is broken. If success causes happiness, then every employee who gets a promotion, every student who receives an acceptance letter, everyone who has ever accomplished a goal of any kind should be happy. But with each victory, our goalposts of success keep getting pushed further and further out, so that happiness gets pushed over the horizon. Even more important, the formula is broken because it is backward. More than a decade of groundbreaking research in the fields of positive psychology and neuroscience has proven, in no uncertain terms, that the relationship between success and happiness works the other way around. Thanks to this cutting-edge science, we now know that happiness is the precursor to success, not merely the result, and that happiness and optimism actually fuel performance and achievement, giving us the competitive edge that I call the happiness advantage. Waiting to be happy limits our brain's potential for success, whereas cultivating positive brains makes us more motivated, efficient, resilient, creative, and productive, which drives performance upward. This discovery has been confirmed by thousands of scientific studies and in my own work and research on 1,600 Harvard students and dozens of Fortune 500 companies worldwide. In this audio program, you will learn not only why the happiness advantage is so powerful, but how you can use it on a daily basis to increase your success at work. But I'm getting excited and jumping ahead of myself. I begin this program where I began my research, at Harvard, where the happiness advantage was born. Discovering the happiness advantage. I applied to Harvard on a dare. I was raised in Waco, Texas, and never really expected to leave. Even as I was applying to Harvard, I was setting down roots and training to be a local volunteer firefighter. For me, Harvard was a place from the movies, the place mothers joke about their kids going to when they grow up. The chances of actually getting in were infinitesimally small. I told myself I'd be happy just to tell my kids someday, offhandedly at dinner, that I had even applied to Harvard. I imagined my imaginary children being quite impressed. When I unexpectedly got accepted, I felt thrilled and humbled by the privilege. I wanted to do the opportunity justice. So I went to Harvard, and I stayed, for the next 12 years. When I left Waco, I had been out of Texas 4 times, and never out of the country, though Texans consider anything out of Texas foreign travel. But as soon as I stepped out of the T in Cambridge and into Harvard Yard, I fell in love. So after getting my BA, I found a way to stay. I went to grad school, taught sections in 16 different courses, and then began delivering lectures. As I pursued my graduate studies, I also became a proctor, an officer of Harvard hired to live in residence with the undergraduates to help them navigate the difficult path to both academic success and happiness within the ivory tower. This effectively meant that I lived in a college dorm for a total of 12 years of my life, not a fact I brought up on first dates. I tell you this for 2 reasons. First, because I saw Harvard as such a privilege, it fundamentally changed the way my brain processed my experience. I felt grateful for every moment, even in the midst of stress, exams, and blizzards, something else I had only seen in the movies. Second, my 12 years teaching in the classrooms and living in the dorms afforded me a comprehensive view of how thousands of other